Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
We now speak to people who make an impact, and one of those people is none other than journalist and author Nicholas Bauer. If you don't remember Nicholas Bauer, you may have seen Nicholas Bauer as a journalist, I think on ENCA, many, many other platforms. But for me, what I think has made Nicholas Bauer stand out for me and the work that he does is the work that he does in the inner city of Johannesburg. Really, really fantastic. If you've never been to one of his tours, I beg you, just Google Zalanje. Just Google it. And you will be thrilled. You will probably be brought to tears. You are going to be happy and sad and all of those emotions all at the same time. But let me just not waste any more time and call upon Nicholas to welcome you on the show. And thank you so much for making time for us, Nicholas. Good evening.
Good evening. And the pleasure's all mine. Don't be making me blush before we've even started, eh?
I cannot believe you are talking to me away from Johannesburg, because, I mean, Johannesburg for me is sort of part of who you've become, Nicholas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a born, bred, buttered, corrupted Johannesburger through and through. You know, I grew up in the west of the city in a place called Roodepoort.
Yeah.
Discovery is my home suburb, and yeah, I mean, you cut me and I bleed Johannesburg. I know that's maybe the best joke in the current climate where things can be quite hairy on the streets of Joburg. But yeah, I'm enjoying a little bit of the European summer. I'm married to a Spanish lady from Madrid, so we're here at the moment. But Joburg remains my true love. And yeah, I mean, you took the words out of my mouth there. There's a lot of hats that I've worn over the years from a media perspective. I've also just released a book called Great Johannesburg.
Yes, I want to talk about
that. Detailing where the city is.
Yeah.
But Dlalanje is really where it's at in terms of my heart and soul. And yeah, it's a social enterprise that we started in 2012 and has taken 25,000 people on tours of the inner city. And, you know, a lot of people wonder, how did we make a world-renowned tourism company in the middle of Hillbrow at infamous Ponte Towers? But I don't know. Those 25,000 tourists can't be wrong, hey? They keep on coming back. And the most important thing is that we use all of that money to create a safe space for kids. In that area.
Yeah, I mean, the real purpose of this feature is to talk to people who are making an impact. And I just thought you are exactly that. You're one of those people. You walk into Hillbrow at a time when everybody has left, not just leaving, has already left. Not only do you stay there, you then decide to go and live at Ponte, where I think the lifts were not working for years. And I don't really know what you had to do with the lifts working, but nonetheless, you were there and stayed there before you decided to open this Dlalanje social enterprise. It's incredible, Nick. Where did the passion come from and what sparked it?
Yeah, I owe a lot of my life to that building, actually. And that's not a, you know, it's not a embellishment on my part, really. I got sent to do a story on Ponte in 2012 by Mail and Guardian editor Nick Dawes. Mm. I was a cub reporter then for the newspaper, and I got sent to do the drugs, gangs, prostitution, crime story, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't leave with that story. I actually left with a lease to stay. I was staying at Maboneng, the, you know, arts and culture place that just started down the road. I thought I was the greatest and coolest hipster. And then I went and did this story on Ponte, and I thought to myself, Mara, you know, I'm staying in Maboneng. I think I'm cool on the sixth floor, but imagine life on the 51st floor. And the rest, as they say, is history, because the flat that I stayed in from 2012 is actually now the venue
yes.
for all of our tours that we do. And yeah. Yeah, I mean, when I say I owe my life to that building, I met my wife in that building.
Wow.
You know, we started Dlalanje in 2012. And really, it's been a fantastic journey here. I lived in Ponte itself for 6 years. I then lived in Hillbrow proper for 3 years after that. And in total, I've been in the inner city itself for just over 10, 11 years. And Johannesburg is forever going to be my home, and I'm always going to be an advocate for it. And most importantly, I'm always going to be an optimist for it. Everybody's signing Johannesburg's death warrant. But Pamela, it's you know, Johannesburg's always been this crazy place. Yeah. Johannesburg's not Paris. Johannesburg's not Moscow. It's not New York, and it's not Beijing. It's Joburg.
Yeah.
It's this crazy, wacky, wild place. City of gold.
So the book you've just written, this is the second book, but the book you've just published now, Great Johannesburg, What Happened, obviously traces that Johannesburg that you speak of. You know, its history, where it comes from, and its uniqueness in a way. And I've been on your tours, and I've watched how, really, it's incredible how everybody kind of wants to do the tour but doesn't want to. You know what I mean? People are afraid, but they want to step out, and they don't quite know how to feel. But you walk the streets of Hillbrow, Berea, so comfortably because everybody knows your name. The children know your name. The vendors know your name. The shopkeepers know your name. They protect your tourists. Where on earth did that kind of conviction in what you wanted to do come from?
Where do I start? I mean, look, I need to state from the get-go, you know, it does help that I am 6'5". I'm not a small guy. You know, I studied Zulu at the University of Johannesburg, and that's important because it's helped me along the way in the founding of Lala NJ and the growing of Lala NJ, my work as a journalist as well. I'm by no means a fluent Zulu speaker, like Mfanelase Zulu, but it's helped me. My street name is Tunde Bantu, and everybody knows me as Tunde Bantu on the streets of Hillbrow, in Ponte itself as well. And you know, I challenge every single person that's listening to this thinking that I've smoked my socks when I say you've got to come and do a tour of Hillbrow. You know, a lot of that fear is just built up on perception. And Lala NJ tries to do two very simple things. Challenge perceptions of the inner city and try and draw opportunity back to the forgotten parts of the city of gold for the benefit of the kids there. You know, and beyond those 25,000 tourists that we've taken on our experiences in Ponte, in Hillbrow, in Yeovil, Berea, and other parts of the city, we've also demonstrably changed hundreds of young lives along the way. And, you know, our current CEO is actually living proof of that. His name is Grant Noble. He's the CEO of Lala NJ when he started out as a Lala NJ kid on the very first day in October 2012 when we opened up our doors. Because if you are unaware, I mean, I say we create that safe space. We have two fully-fledged community centers at the bottom of Ponte, one focused on early childhood development up to 11 years of age, and then one from 12 to 19 focused on young adults with things like a rooftop garden, coding, pansulo classes, yoga. And you know, both of those spots are just places for kids to be kids in parts of the city where, you know, they have parents that are working 12 to 16 hour days just to keep a shirt in their back and food on the table. And, you know, we, as the two white guys that started it, really, Michal Liptak and myself, we wanted to provide the things that middle-class kids take for granted growing up in South Africa. You know, not only a white thing, but just a middle-class thing. You know, who's there to ensure that you're doing your homework? Who's there to provide a helping hand or a guiding, you know, voice to kids when they need it most, when their own parents are maybe not as available as they'd like to be? And that's what Lala NJ is all about. And I mean, you asked where the inspiration comes from. I think that it's foolhardy to think that you can live in South Africa, the most unequal society on earth, and not have some sort of responsibility, not realize that you have a responsibility within yourself to try and ensure that tomorrow is going to be better for not only yourself, but the people around you. Because the world we live in today, especially with this crazy U.S. election coming up, we're constantly reminded of, you know, two groups of people out there, one that wants to build higher walls and others that want to bring longer tables to the equation. And I think that's how we solve Joburg's problems. That's how we solve South Africa's problems. We can't barricade ourselves from the realities of the streets of Johannesburg, you know, the realities of South Africa, whether or not it's suburbs or townships. We need to get down on the ground, roll up our sleeves and get busy, you know, stop moaning and start doing. And that's essentially what we tried to do with Lalanje. And I'm just so proud that we're 12 years down the line. We're going to be launching something fantastic on our 12th birthday in October. On the 13th of October, we turn 12. And we're going to launch a program where we're going to repurpose hijacked buildings in Johannesburg, in the inner city. You know, that's also another festering problem that's just not going away. The private sector's not doing anything about it. Local government's not doing anything about it. So, hell, we're going to give it a bash, and we're going to try and start with one hijacked building and turn it into, you know, a community youth development mecca, really. So watch this space. The next 3 years for Lalanje is going to be supercharged.
I'm encouraged by what you're saying, because I know a lot of people have ideas and people come in optimistic but quite naive. But you've been a journalist. You've done what I do, ask the harder questions. But you've also, you know, you've lived in the area where you're trying to build something. But you've also been an administrator in the city of Johannesburg. And for me, quite a nice 360 view of what is wrong with the city. Clearly also demonstrated by your book. You know what is wrong with the city. You understand that you have to understand the problem, and it can be solved. And it takes every single one of us. Just talk to me a little bit about your work when you were in the city of Johannesburg. Must have been very frustrating.
Sure, yeah. So I covered the July riots of 2021, yeah. And I got very, very bad COVID after that. And I took a look around in my house. We just had a little girl. She was less than a year old. And we were all very sick. And I thought to myself, is this really the lifestyle that I need to continue pursuing with a family? And I wanted to try and do something different. Mm. So I didn't turn my back on journalism. I just went in a different direction for a while. Mm. And I worked in the city of Johannesburg as a spokesperson for the EISD department. And it's basically the department that's in charge of city power, Joburg Water, and Pick It Up. So all those sexy service delivery parts of local government. I have one or two gray hairs that I could name after the various parts of the city that really, tested my patience, tested my sanity. But it was a great learning experience. And I mean, look, in a nutshell, Johannesburg is facing massive problems. I mean, you can't shy away from the fact that the city is in crisis at every single turn. But the book that I wrote is not only about spilling the beans, because I do that. You know, I try and look at the problems optimistically, but I also paint a very honest picture about where we are at this point in time. Johannesburg's in deep, deep, deep trouble. Mm-hmm. But the point that I want to make in that book, and anybody that asks me about what happens in Johannesburg in the next 10 to 15 years, or maybe even just the next 3 years. And I say, the only way Johannesburg is going to be set in a different direction is if Joburgers themselves turn things around. Mm-hmm. And I can already hear, sitting so far away from Johannesburg now, the people's eyes rolling in their heads. Oh, yeah. What can I do? Mm. Well, the fact of the matter is that you can do something in your corner of the city. Because in my experience as an administrator, every single community that got involved didn't just moan to their councillor, didn't just access services by trying to find out who in the particular region was responsible for city power, Joburg Water, Pick It Up, et cetera, but actually worked with others in their community, on their street, in their neighborhood, to try and address the problems around water supply, around electricity supply, around crime. You know, the citizens that were proactive, those communities always had better service delivery outcomes, not only because they kept the administrators on their toes, but they actually took responsibility. They took their reality into their own hands. A lot of people feel helpless about the situation in Johannesburg. What do I do as a single Joburger? But I'll give you one practical example. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Wilds.
I know the Wilds very well. Killarney, Houghton, Hillbrow, sort of at that intersection.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. It is a gorgeous little botanical oasis. All right.
But it was scary for some time. Hey, remember that?
Exactly.
And it's beautiful now. Yeah.
That's the point, is that it was a no-go area 10 years ago. All right. And it took one Joburger in the form of James Delaney to decide to turn his back on the prophets of doom. Mm. He rocked up there one day. He saw that it was very, very overgrown from his vantage point in Killarney, where his flat was. And he went into the entrance, and the security said, "Whoa, Bubba, just don't go in there. Yep. It is dangerous. Nobody goes inside. If you want to experience it, just stick around here where we can watch you." And he thought, "You know what, bugger, I'm going to go inside with my dog." And he walked around, and he saw that, you know, there was nothing really particularly wrong with it. It wasn't as dangerous as people were making it out to be. And this is where the perception thing comes in. And the punchline is that soon he was joined by a couple of others. There was five of them that were walking around shoulder to shoulder, clearing paths, trying to reactivate the space. He was then joined by schools in the area, your Rodines, King Edwards, your St. John's. Then he had corporate sponsors. And I mean, he single-handedly, with the help of others, turned that place around and has turned it into the botanical mecca it is today. And this is the point in the book, Melo, is that Joburg is responsible for 40% of all the world's gold in the history of humanity. That's a crazy, crazy stat, right? 40% of all the history, all the gold in the history of the world came out of the ground in Johannesburg. That gold is long gone, all right? But our precious resource, the most precious resource that remains, is the people of Johannesburg. Those are the people, those are the things that are going to save the city of gold. Because if we all try and do our bit in our corner of the city, small deeds turn into massive, massive movements and massive deeds that can turn around a city's fortunes quicker than we actually know. And I remain a steadfast optimist in terms of where Joburg is going. I mean, I wouldn't be in Johannesburg with Lalanje after all these years if I didn't think that there was a future there. And I remind everybody, watch this space. In the next 3 years, after Lalanje turns 12 in October, we're going to be raising funds. We're looking to raise $1 million, 20 million rand, to try and repurpose the hijacked building and turn it into a community youth development center.
Well, you're an inspiration, Nicholas. Thank you so much for your time. The book is called Great Johannesburg, What Happened? It's by Nicholas Bauer. And Nicholas, thank you so much for making time for us. Come and say hello when you're back in Joburg.
I definitely will. Lots of love, Pamela, and thanks very much for the opportunity. Joburg is don't forgive, don't forget, just get busy, stop moaning, roll up your sleeves and save the city.
Thanks, Nicholas. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Let me take a quick break. When I come back, as you know, motoring with Pogiso Dibakwan.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.